CliffCentral.com.
Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yeah. Are you with me? It's Lost Frequencies. It's also 7 after 7. CliffCentral.com. By the way, Anthea Gardner has co-authored an article on Daily Maverick. You can go and have a look at that. She co-authored it with Judith February about the budget for 2016. So if you want to know more about that, it is all on the Daily Maverick. And as you know, we get our daily dose every day with the Daily Maverick. So you find all the news in one convenient email delivered to your inbox. And if that isn't enough, you have Mabali Moloi, so you can't complain. Everything and more. Right, Mubs? That's how we do things.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. So let's roll. We're going to get stuck into some news in a moment. Let me just quickly read this to you, because I think this is something on a lot of people's minds. You know, they closed the University of Pretoria last week because there were student protests. So Claudia wants to know, can we discuss the destructive student protest at the moment? I have two cousins who are residents at UP who now have to miss 3 tests because of a language they didn't even get taught in. I understand that Afrikaans will eventually not be a mode of instruction in the next few years, which I agree with, but there is a better way to process this change. Do it in the right way. Instead, it has become another ugly race fight. Things are getting violent, and when someone gets hurt, then maybe people will stop this excessive behavior. Most of these kids, both black and white, want to go to class, but can't because of the fear of being hurt. The only real crime now is that thousands' right to education is being stolen. When the students who want to be there leave to correspondence universities and our great institutions are torn to ruins like our public schools, who will then be to blame? The government needs to take a stand. Well, don't expect that from Blade, but you know what, Claudia? I think you're saying what a lot of people are thinking. I heard an interesting thing the other day. I'm going to see if I can't find it. An American woman was talking about the student protests in America, because there's also quite a lot of that going on. And she was basically some kind of political commentator, news journalist, or whatever it might be. And she had some interesting things to say about how, actually, you know what? Tertiary education is not a right. It's a privilege. Not everybody gets to go to university. Not everybody gets to get a degree. And if you are one of those lucky people who do, you should be grateful for it. And I imagine that there are a lot of people who are at university at the moment who are feeling, you know, maybe this is not worth all the struggle and all this pain. Because these universities are on their knees as it is at the moment. And when I look at the nature of these protests, I read a fascinating article by a guy called Theodore Dalrymple. Over the weekend, he talks about the war between civilization and barbarism. And people who destroy art, for example, we talked about this just the other day. People destroy music, art, literature. You're aiming for the apex of civilization then. And essentially what you do if you destroy that stuff is you are representing barbarism, the opposite of civilization. You're also showing that you don't have any desire to achieve the high ideals you suppose that make other people successful. Instead, you would prefer to bring those high ideals to their knees so that they can be at the level that you're at the moment. Does that make any sense? I mean, I'm condensing a whole lot of things that I read over the weekend into one discussion. But if you're a student right now, you've got to ask yourself, A, is this worth it? Because at the end, I'm going to get a degree that's going to be watered down because of all the things that are going on. All these institutions are suffering, and so are their reputations, and so is the quality of education at these institutions. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, everybody wants a university degree, so if everybody did get a university degree, they wouldn't be worth anything anyway. Number three, it seems that the nature of the protests is so violent and so barbaric and so angry that there isn't any room for smart, intelligent discussion. And if there's any place in the world that you need to have smart, intelligent discussion and leave emotion at the door, it's at university. University is not a place where you have the most basic of behaviors or discussions. You should have higher level discussions. This is a higher level institution. It's a tertiary level institution. You should be arguing about all this nonsense at a much more basic level. And by the way, if our systems of schooling in this country were any better in the public sphere, we wouldn't be having this discussion about tertiary education. It just seems that's the one thing left for them to destroy. And by them, I mean the Department of Basic and Higher Education. They haven't got anything else right, so how can we expect them to get universities right? Whenever the universities try to do anything, there seems to be some new excuse as to why A, people can't study, or B, people don't want to study, or C, people are angry. It used to be that it was fees must fall, then it became about outsourcing and insourcing, which is ludicrous, and now it's about what kinds of statues or paintings we find on our campuses, as if that's such a distraction that you can't get on with the work. It's bullshit, Claudia, to put it in a very brief synopsis. It's absolute bullshit. And you know what's going to happen? Is those two cousins of yours who are at the University of Pretoria are going to waste quite a lot of time this year having to deal with all these protests. And they may or may not get their degree, but I can promise you by the end of it, the degree will have been watered down. So good luck to them. And to all these people who are protesting at the universities and distracting everybody and getting embroiled in nonsense that has nothing to do with studying, you're wasting everyone's time. And I don't care how you feel. How you feel about things is not the most important part of what's going on. What you must learn is the most important part of what's going on. And if you, again, read one or two of these articles, you will find some very interesting parallels drawn. There's a great piece I read by a guy who actually lectures at a university in England. And he's leaving. He's getting out of there because he said he can't tolerate the fact that there are all these kids who are raised now because of this child-centered education policy that seems to have taken the world by storm a couple of years ago. All these kids are coming out of schools thinking that their feelings are the most important thing. How they feel about themselves is number one. Well, it isn't. What you learn is number one. How you feel about yourself is your problem. It's your psychological issue, and you must deal with it in your time. But you may not take up everyone else's time while you're dealing with your psychology. Right, done. Whew, got that off my chest. But thank you for the question, Claudia, because it's been on everyone's mind, and I assure you, I'm reading as much as I can about it because it's driving me crazy. It just seems to be one of those situations where there is not an easy answer. And I think a lot of people are feeling very, very frustrated by what's going on. Let's get into the news. All right, what's happening, Mubs?
Well, the Lily rescue operation suffered another setback this past weekend, if they needed another one. First, it was a case of there were two landslides after the initial accident happened. And then it was a case of the ground that they were, you know, conducting these operations on was not stable enough, and so operations were called off. And then this past weekend, the drilling machine broke down. So I really don't know. God. I mean, if you're one of those people who buys into that whole divine intervention thing, it really seems as if there's some sort of force working against people just being able to reach the three trapped miners, taking them out, and then, you know, having their loved ones lay them to rest or, you know, find closure or whatever.
They can't still be alive, right?
Well, I don't know. That's why I say, you know, having their loved ones find closure. Now it's a case of, we'll just bring their bodies out so that we can lay them to rest. So the drilling machine broke down over this past weekend, which means that they couldn't drill any further. They tried to fix the machine all of Sunday because it broke down on Saturday. By Sunday night, they still hadn't managed to fix it. And then this afternoon, apparently, journalists are going to be taken on a tour of the site. Again, you just have to feel for those family members.
Terrible story.
You know, who've gone from hoping that they would find that, you know, that their loved ones would come out, and now them thinking, well, they're possibly not alive anymore, so now let's just try and find their bodies.
Ugh, what a horrible story. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And, you know, mining is supposed to be safer now than it's ever been. But these kinds of things happen, I think.
These kinds of things happen all the time.
And as you say, it feels almost like everything is working against these people at the moment. Very, very sad. Awful.
Yeah, apparently they've now brought in or are going to be bringing in a new drilling machine because this one broke down and they weren't able to fix it. It's just, it's sad, as you say.
Awful.
I read an article that Lily Mine safety officer committed suicide about 4 days ago.
Right.
But then people were, Lenny Mines was saying that he was one of their safety officers, but years ago, and he no longer works for them. But all these other articles are saying, no, he is their safety officer now.
Yeah, I saw that story as well last week, Flex. First, it was initially reported that, yes, he was a safety officer at Lily Mine, and then other reports said, no, actually, he was not. So it's very confusing.
I still can't figure it out.
Yeah. Don't worry, you're not the only one. Sounds confusing. Full stop. All right, what else is going on?
Well, the FIFA presidential candidate race thing is going to wrap up towards the end of this week, I think. And Gianni Infantino.
Who?
He is the General Secretary of the European Soccer Federation, UEFA, right? Mm-hmm. And he is one of the candidates. He will round off his election campaign with a visit to Robben Island, because, you know, it's trendy to do that.
Damn right.
He is seeking African support in his bid to replace Sepp Blatter at the helm of world football's governing body.
No, that's because Tokyo has been told to piss off already.
Yeah, shame. Poor Tokyo. Didn't go well, huh?
You know, I actually don't know what happened with Tokyo, because he then also blamed... he said that part of the reason that his campaign wasn't so successful was because of a lack of African support. Because this Infantino guy has gotten a lot of European support, and now he's aiming for the African support as well. So a lot of people already, you know, saying that he's one that's likely to succeed.
What's his corruption index level, Ben? I mean,
it's
is
much
he a professional?
Higher than Tokyo. See, Tokyo doesn't have a history of palm greasing. An African diaspora delegation, whatever you want to call it, they looked at that and thought, well, no, he's very low. This Infantino, on the other hand, as Nubs rightly is pointing out, there's a bit more, more motion in his finance wheels there.
Okay.
So Infantino and Asian Football Confederation President Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa of Bahrain, those two appeared to be the front runners for election, which is going to be held in Zurich. Salman won the backing of the African Football Confederation, that's CAF. This is now the one that Tokyo was saying didn't give him any support whatsoever. But yes, Infantino is going to be touring Robben Island today, along with Tokyo Sokhale, who you will remember was also a former political prisoner on Robben Island with Nelson Mandela.
That's right.
The two other candidates in the election are
That's
former...
That's about to be awkward.
Yeah.
You're walking around with a guy who you lost the election to. Not good.
Yeah. The two other candidates in the election are former FIFA Deputy General Secretary Jerome Champagne of France and Jordanian Prince Ali bin Al Hussein.
Okay.
So, Friday is the big day. It's a big showdown.
So, there's a big corrupt shoes to fill.
Yes, and corrupt shoes must be filled by an equally, if not more, corrupt individual. That's how corrupt shoes work.
No, that's how the equation works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't have good people in there. Sia, you would never make it at FIFA. You're much too honest.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It
Thank
is. It's
you.
A huge compliment. Yeah, you'd be the least successful person in FIFA history. Because you just don't know how to grease palms and take backhanders.
But the thing is, all those people were indicted over the whole FIFA scandal by the Americans. And actually, if corrupt shoes are going to be filled by somebody who's equally, if not more corrupt, then what was actually the point? FIFA is going to remain a corrupt organization. So then what?
Yeah, but the guys who brought the certain people down have been given promotions now, so they got what they want. They don't have to keep fighting the good fight.
Okay.
That's the thing about the good fight, Mubs. It's not a lifetime thing.
That's just the sound of... Sepp Blatter is sitting in his house right now. He's just counting money. It was a good tenure I had at FIFA. I had a very good time there. Yeah, let me count some more. There's so many piles of cash still to go through. I will be busy for many years.
This guy's crapping on about how disappointed he is now. He's trying to take this...
Sepp?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
He's trying to take this thing like he's got a heart, like he actually cares about and wrong. It's so sad.
Son of a bitch.
It's like an old pedophile basically saying, you know what, I was in it just to buy the kid an ice cream. I know you weren't. Such a liar.
What a metaphor. All right, what else is going on?
Let's talk about Radovan Krejčí for a moment. Because
you running for FIFA?
No, he's not, Ben. But he is expected to be sentenced today in the High Court in Johannesburg. On August the 24th, Cretcher was convicted of attempted murder, kidnapping and dealing in drugs. The matter related to the kidnapping and torture of Beki Lukele, whose brother had allegedly disappeared with 25 kilograms of tick. So it would seem that Cretcher had this guy taken out. But then last week, in a story that reads like something out of a movie, the Star newspaper last week reported on an alleged plot by Radovan Cretcher to have the High Court judge killed.
Jesus.
Oh my word.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This is a story that was reported by the Star. So allegedly, Cretcher was planning to have the High Court judge in presiding over his case killed. That's Judge Colin Lamont, who had found Cretcher guilty of kidnapping, attempted murder, and attempted possession of drugs back in August.
The stones in this guy to take out a judge.
Oh. Several sources close to the investigation said that Cretcher had apparently hired a European hitman to come to South Africa to finish the job.
Wow.
According to the Star, impeccable sources said that the alleged hitman was in the country in December. He was prevented by prison officials from visiting Cretcher in Kokstad CMAX prison, where him and Cretcher were apparently going to meet to execute the hit. The alleged hitman had pretended to be Radovan's brother, and he was accompanied by a police official. But according to the source, Cretcher is an only child. He doesn't have a brother. So then this raised alarm bells.
Because he killed and ate his siblings when he was a small child.
So then this raised alarm bells.
Yeah.
The Star understands that a top cop had rushed to the Kokstad Maximum Security Facility the following day and demanded that all video footage showing the faces of visitors claiming he was going to investigate the matter. The name of the police officer is not known. And then when the Star tried to reach the prison at a later stage, they said, no, we're not talking to the media right now, but we have beefed up security and everything is in order. So it would seem that this guy was trying to have a judge taken out.
That's insane. I mean, that's the kind of thing you see in a movie.
Yes.
That some powerful warlord in prison is able to control things and hire a hitman from Europe who comes over here pretending to be his brother when he doesn't have any siblings. And then they're going to assassinate a judge together? Craziness, right? I mean, if that kind of thing could happen, then we're in a lot of trouble.
The source told the Star that Cretcher believed that if Lamont was killed, it would delay the process for his sentencing, which is now going ahead today. But I mean, how is that judge going to be feeling now, sitting there dishing out the sentence after having read this report that, well, he might have been trying to have you taken out?
Well, if I were the judge, I'd add a couple of years onto his sentence then. I mean, maybe just bring back the death penalty just for him.
But the thing is, you know,
this guy is such filth.
Even when he's behind bars, he still has the power to issue any kind of instruction that he wishes.
Sure.
In which case, your life could still be in danger. I'm almost afraid just talking about this.
See, as you having a panic attack. Is that an anxiety attack? Are you alright?
No, I just thought about it now. Like, if he doesn't like us, he could do what he wants.
Even from prison.
Yes.
Someday, I'm going to get out of prison. And I'm going to come to the Sea of San Quentin Finn house. I'm going to cut a head off a horse and put it in bed with you. Yo. And you're gonna wake up and it's gonna be a horse head in your bed.
Yo, Radovan, dude, my guy, like,
yeah.
Not even worth it. Think you should, you know, spend your energy on someone else. Rather focus on killing someone else.
It's gonna be you.
Yeah, what is it, Flex?
You know, like, some of the ministers and political party members, they come with bodyguards to Do the top judges also have, like, 24/7 bodyguards?
Well, some of them have to. It depends on the nature of the cases they're involved in, but they do get special protection some of the time. I would imagine this judge, if you're ruling in a case against Radovan Cretcher, I think you have to be extremely careful.
Definitely.
I think you want to be very low profile, and you don't necessarily want to be alone in dark places. Huh?
So you're right, they have like bodyguards sit outside their house.
No, I'm sure they get police.
Police?
Not police.
Not private.
No, I think it would be police. No, why would it be private? A judge is the only reason you're a judge is because you work for the state. The state must provide you with protection in the time that you need it.
Oh.
So it would be police. I reckon the guy'd probably get his own private security anyway if he's got any brains. It sounds like the police are in bed with Radovan Krycher anyway. Who's this guy who came to the jail with the would-be assassin? A policeman.
Police official.
Woo. Not good.
Money anyway. Talks. That's the thing. So if you pay a certain person the right amount of money, they can look away.
They must just take away everything he has. Take Krycher, take every single cent he has away. There's our budget problems. Pravin will be sorted on Wednesday. Doesn't need to worry. Supernova says, can't we give Krycher leniency to wipe out Zuma like 100 years from the 500 he deserves? I don't know if we want to help killers kill other people. Not a good idea. Does Radovan have access to Narcos, the TV series, in prison? He's getting ideas from Pablo Escobar, says Roman.
I imagine Radovan has access to a lot of things. Remember a while ago, a police raid revealed that they confiscated something like 7-odd cell phones from him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of phones.
All sorts of other things. I imagine he has access to almost anything.
I don't think he struggles to find what he wants. I think that you could probably get some stuff in prison you can't even get outside in the real world. And it shouldn't be that way, right? It should be the opposite. There should be things that you definitely can't get in prison. Anyway, I don't know. I just don't like this guy. I think this Radovan Krycher, he's basically made our whole country look like a laughingstock. He came in here from the Czech Republic, and he's just had free reign to do whatever he wanted. He's taken over the criminal underworld. He's a bad man. There's no doubting that he's a bad man. Dealing drugs to children, running a criminal syndicate, having people taken out when he doesn't agree with them or doesn't like them. It's horrible. It's just an awful situation. So I'm hoping this judge gives a really harsh sentence and this guy goes to jail for a long, long time.
Well, he will be back in court today, so hopefully by tomorrow we'll know exactly what his fate is.
All right. Yes, Lex.
With regards to the Sepp Blatter story, I never ever knew he was corrupt. And back in 2010, I bumped into him at Melrose Arch.
Oh, really?
I took a photo with him.
Hmm.
And then about 15 minutes later, my phone got stolen.
Because you took picture with Sepp. You think it was all a conspiracy, like he had your phone stolen?
I think there was definitely a tie somewhere.
Really?
I don't think Sepp is worrying about one cell phone.
Mm-mm.
We're dealing with billions. But it is funny that you... So you didn't ever have the picture?
No. And I told people, guys, I had a photo of
what
Sepp
Blatter. What was he doing in Melrose Arch?
He was just standing outside by JB's.
Oh, really?
And I saw other people taking photos with him. And, of course, I didn't know who he was. So I asked who he was, and they said, oh, he's the FIFA this. So I said, oh, let me go have a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a photo with Akon the same night. Lost that because of Sepp.
Yeah, Sepp had your phone stolen.
If Sepp can please send me the photo with Akon, I'd be happy.
You don't even care about the one with him.
No, just Akon.
All right, I got you.
Speaking of celebs, if you were to have one celeb lookalike, who would you be? If you were a doppelganger for someone.
Oh. Ah, wow. Okay. I'd have to make it someone really good looking. I don't care about anything else. I don't want to be a quirky looking person or...
No.
It's got to be someone super hot, right?
I don't understand the question. So we get to choose who we would, we looked like.
If you were a double ganger for someone, who would it be?
Okay.
So if you were in public and someone would go, oh my gosh, you look just like?
Let me think about this.
I don't want to be too old, so I'd go for maybe like a Bradley Cooper.
Huh. Oh, mine is simple, Pharrell.
You got Pharrell, huh?
Pharrell.
Okay.
You
come
know,
on.
No, I mean, there's so many...
Gabrielle Union?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
We all know you want to be... Gabide Sidibe.
No.
Gabri Sidibe. She's that precious. Enormous. Yeah, precious.
Yeah, Gabrielle is stunning, actually. So yeah, that's a good idea.
She's hot. Otherwise, how about Olivia Pope?
Kerry Washington, she's also, right. Yeah. Yeah,
she's
okay.
Nice. All right.
Why, Ben?
No, no, wait. I want to hear. Sia, who would you go for?
Yeah, Pharrell.
Oh, yeah, you said Pharrell.
Just
sorry,
for
Flex.
The looks and the coolness.
Go.
I want that dude. He's from one of those vampire series, and he's got, like, the matte black hair and the matte black eyebrows.
Taylor Lautner?
Taylor Lautner. I want to be like him.
Twilight guy.
What, the guy who turns into dog in Twilight?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I just know he's got, like, matte black hair.
That was your original crush, Michael.
Well, Taylor Lautner.
I'd like to look like him.
Is that his name?
When Michael first started here, he basically had a massive man crush on him. This was like before the Big Beaver days.
Yeah, I used to get my eyebrows tinted to look like him, and it never worked.
Wow. Oh, okay.
One day a psychologist is going to sit down with you and have a field day. You know that. All right, why, Ben? What's the question?
So there's a chubby Russian guy who looks like Leonardo DiCaprio, and he is just cleaning up right now. He's living the life of Leo, basically. So
really?
He's got this, find him on Instagram, his name is Roman, because it's R-O-M-A-N underscore S DiCaprio, Roman's DiCaprio.
Wait, I'm going to look this guy up. Does he look exactly like him?
Well, look, he's very funny. Like, one of the things he's put on Instagram.
Roman underscore S.
Underscore S and then DiCaprio. So it's DiCaprio. So he's got this one upload that's really funny. There's a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio, and it says Friday night. He's in a suit, and there's a picture of him, and it says Saturday morning. So he's like a less good-looking, kind of fatter version.
No, he doesn't look like... He's a horrible-looking man.
But it's kind of... He looks like a bit draggled, older,
like
fatter
if Leo DiCaprio was not looking after himself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly, which he doesn't. Leonardo DiCaprio looked like that.
He dressed up like the Revenant.
Yeah. So he's reenacting all his, like, movies. So he went to a mall, and he had some woman do the Kate Winslet Titanic pose. Like,
oh, that's funny. That's fantastic.
So he's just like a chubby kind of no one, but now everyone's kind of thinking he's the Leonardo DiCaprio doppelganger, so he's just getting pictures taken everywhere.
What a funny guy.
See, but he's taking things slowly. Have you heard of, like, you know, back in the Posh and Beck's heyday, there were these two individuals, who looked like David Beckham, the other who looked like Victoria, and they actually coupled up just to go out, and they made appearances. They were really cashing in on this.
The celebrity lookalike business is quite big. You get people who just make a living off looking like someone.
Mm.
So they go to events, and they get paid to do things, and they get paid to just make appearances.
Yeah,
and they make good money.
I think it must be quite cool to look like it, but not like this guy. He doesn't look exactly like Leo DiCaprio. You look exactly like the person.
Yeah, but Gareth, if you go to
Ben,
the event,
obviously for you it would be Zac Efron, right?
No, Chris Hemsworth, obviously.
Oh.
Who doesn't want to be Thor?
Oh.
That's true.
Okay,
but yeah. Gareth, think
good
about
point,
it.
Well
if this guy rocks up at an event, right, and there's loads of flashing cameras, and he moves relatively quickly for his size, you're going to think, and someone starts saying, because that's what these PR people do, it's like, oh my gosh,
Leonardo DiCaprio's here. Yeah.
So, Kim Kardashian has a doppelganger bum.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever there's movie scenes or they need her bum, they only allow to use the certain person that she said is her doppelganger bum.
What's the word, though? It's a butt double, actually.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
A lot of people say my doppelganger is Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah, very similar.
You do look a bit like him.
If you put, like, side-by-side photos, it's pretty spot-on.
Actually, your doppelganger works here as well, Alessandro Barbosa.
Yeah, same person. Right?
It's the same guy, Flax and Alessandro.
Oh, are they two
confused.
Guys?
What exactly. Most people think they're the same person. All right.
Hey, you guys. Have you heard of the term hangry before?
Hangry is when you are hungry and angry. You're so hungry that you're angry.
Oh, yes. But
it's like at a wedding. You get hangry at a wedding because they're taking thousands of pictures.
I've just read up on the story. This woman in Virginia, in America, Lovely Robinson. Firstly,
that's
what
her
name.
Lovely.
That's her name.
Okay.
She took hangry levels to, like, this other off-the-charts vibe. Last week, Monday, Lovely was waiting in line at Wendy's. Of course, she was getting fast food. This story just warms my heart in so many places.
Yeah.
She's in the drive-through. Her order comes out. She's not happy with it. It's the wrong order. So when you're hangry, you sort of react in ways. Really, like, it's just an out-of-body experience. So she walks in there, starts screaming at everyone, goes behind the counter, starts attacking the staff, even, like, threatening them with the fryer and all the oil, and basically assaulted all of the staff to the point where she was starting to bite on people's knees.
No.
How is this even normal? So eventually...
She started biting people's knees?
She left a mark on people's knees. So Lovely has now been arrested on several different charges. Her mugshot is beautiful, for lack of a better term. She looks scarred for some odd reason as well.
This is Steer when he goes into fast food places sometimes.
When you're hangry, you're hangry, you know?
I want it back on my car. You didn't ask. You didn't give me this choice when you stay in my car. So what the fuck did you say? Here, read the receipt, bitch, and tell you the manager. I want my money. I'm going to go and get in this bitch. And it's going to start with me to go away.
At this point, you just give the woman what she wants and get her the hell out of there. She's obviously got mental health problems,
and
right?
And need I remind you, this is just for an incorrect order.
Need I remind you, her name is Lovely, but Lovely. She's everything but Lovely.
That's one of the best lines in an argument. Do you love your face? Like, wait, what's the response to that? How can you respond to, do you love your face?
Because I'm going to rearrange it.
Wow. I'm just now thinking, when she's in prison, you know, she's sitting in a circle with all the other people like, oh, what are you in here for? Oh, well, rape or drugs or, I just bit someone's
knee. I got angry at a McDonald's. They put me in jail.
I would love to witness an incident like this.
I don't know that you would.
No,
I've seen
I actually would, because I would just stand there completely dumbstruck. It wouldn't even cross my mind to take out my phone and start recording. I would be completely dumbstruck, like, is this really happening in front of me right
now? I've seen you in situations where people get angry with each other. You back off. You sit in the corner.
Yeah, I just
observe. You don't get involved. Yeah, I think you'd feel very uncomfortable.
I would just observe.
I want to see how this ends.
Come fucking with me, no face is seen again. I'm not playing.
Which one
do you prefer? It's both, bitch. Which one? Which one do you prefer? All right.
And the poor woman behind the counter has been called bitch like 200 times already and motherfucker about 15 times. And she's just carrying on.
Is it a Chinese woman behind the counter?
No.
Because I can hear like in the background.
It's a African-American woman in front of the counter who's losing her shit. And then it's an African-American woman behind the counter who's trying her best to be polite.
Now who the fuck y'all think y'all playing with
in
this motherfucker?
And this is about fries.
My part of the refund. Yes. Bitch, it was $6.99. I want all my shit. It said six fifty-six. I was charged extra 46, bitch, for motherfucking food. Read it. Take all the receipts, dumbass. You raise it up.
By the way, that other guy who came up with just another customer saying to her, you know, you can calm down. She's like, back off of me.
I love how she's polite with him, though. Excuse me, sir. No, bitch. Excuse me, sir.
Are we sure this isn't just like behind the scenes of the documentary Whitney, the later years?
I'm just waiting on the sweet tea. I just want you to hear her. I ain't worried about it. I'll just
Wow.
You got yourself involved when you walked up on.
Oh, wow. Okay, you know, life is really not about that $6.99 of fries. If that's going to get you so hangry, then you should really find something else to take your time up. It's not worth being so hangry. All right, what else have we got going on?
Well, those people can be lucky that Lovely didn't have a gun.
Sure.
Because there is another shooting incident that happened over the weekend in Gunland States of America.
Yeah, pick a number.
A gunman killed 6 people and wounded 2 in Kalamazoo County, Michigan.
Kalamazoo County. What do you think is going to happen in a place called Kalamazoo County?
The suspect is 45-year-old Jason Dalton. Opened fire late on Saturday outside an apartment complex, a Kia car dealership, and a restaurant over a period of little more than 4 hours. Basically, this guy was just shooting people at random. And when police finally caught him and arrested him, they reported that he was completely calm.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton is now in custody. He was even-tempered when he was arrested. A 14-year-old girl initially reported to have been shot at the restaurant became the seventh fatality, was in fact wounded and is in a serious condition. But I mean, you just randomly kill 6 people because nobody knows why. Why, Jason? Why?
And then when they catch you, you're like very calm.
No, you're even tempered, you're calm, you're like, as if nothing happened.
Hey, officer. How are you? You're looking good in that uniform. What's going on in the world? I mean, really, a lot of people just should not have access to the things they have access to. A lot of these people, I'll bet you, 100 years ago, this guy's ancestors were just sitting under a tree, scratching their balls. Because they didn't have anything. Now he can buy a gun in the 21st century, and he can go and terrorize other people. He should be under a tree, scratching his balls. He shouldn't have transport out of the town that he's born in. He should live there the whole of his life. He should have some menial job. Making sandwiches or something. And that is the most that he should ever do, because he can do no damage to other human beings while he's making sandwiches. Right?
Well,
what's going on here? This is a disaster. It's a big, ugly mess. All right. Well, I mean, let's just leave it alone. It's not our problem. It's America's problem at this stage. America!
Speaking of America, Donald Trump, is not afraid to take on anybody, as we mentioned last week, is now calling for people to boycott Apple. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump called for a boycott of Apple until the computer giant complies with U.S. government demands to unlock the phone of a suspect in the San Bernardino attacks. Now, if you don't remember the San Bernardino attacks, it involved a couple, Syed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, who also took guns, then killed 14 people and injured 22 in also random shootings, right?
Yeah, I remember them.
So what happened was then they got a hold of this Apple iPhone, which they said belonged to this Syed Farouk, who was one of the suspects, and both of them were killed. Mm-hmm. And the government then sought a court order to force Apple to help them unlock the phone as part of the investigation, to which Apple said no. And then last week, Facebook jumped onto the bandwagon and they said, good on you, Apple. Don't let the FBI and the government bully you into revealing people's private and secure information. And so this has turned into a big, big battle.
Hmm.
It's a dispute that pits 2 important principles against each other. It's about the right of the U.S. government to investigate thoroughly the most deadly terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11 versus the right of the most valuable and iconic American company to go about its business without the same U.S. government undercutting the key promise it makes to consumers that their most private communications are kept safely under the lock and key. So the government wants Apple to unlock this phone. Apple are saying, no, screw you. Facebook are saying, good on you, Apple. Even Edward Snowden jumped on and said, good on you, Apple, for standing your ground. And now there's this big fight happening. And then Donald Trump decided to involve himself in it, and he's now calling on people to boycott Apple.
What do you make of this? I mean, whose side are you on?
Oh, this is a tough one. I mean, the guy in question, whose cell phone they have, is dead. So whose security are you protecting.
I agree.
He's dead.
You should be able to take any dead person's information and use it for whatever purpose you need, especially if it solves a crime.
I guess it's one of those setting a precedent things, is that the FBI and these people believe they can just get anything they want, and Apple want to take a stand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we had a similar thing here when Oscar's phones were sort of got into after Carl had them for the weekend.
Yeah, we need to be able to... Listen, if you commit a crime, they should be able to dig into your records. And there should be no place for you to hide. Personal information at all. However, if you're a good law-abiding citizen, they shouldn't have the right to dig around in your stuff.
So then where do you draw the line between the two?
Because then there's the whole obstructing justice thing.
The line is crime.
But what if you're allegedly accused of a crime, but you actually didn't commit the crime?
Then they must check. I mean, how badly do you want to not go to jail? Surrender your personal information. If you're guilty, then you know that discovering the information is going to prejudice you. So you're going to say, oh, no, it's my private information. So that's one way of telling if someone's guilty or not. You know what? If someone accused me of murder and it meant that they would discover a couple of filthy pictures and things on my phone, I'd rather let them discover the filthy pictures than go to jail. Right?
Sounds fair.
If you had some text messages with your mistress on your phone, and those were going to become public, but on the other hand, you could end up going to jail for murder, you'd give up the mistress. Right? Makes sense.
Yep.
So let the person decide. It's the lesser of two evils.
To me, this almost seems like it has actually nothing to do with protecting customers' privacy more than it is a power play by Apple. They do not want to be bullied by the government. This is what it seems like to me. So it's actually just a power struggle between the FBI and Apple. Who's going to win?
Yeah.
So Donald Trump had this to say: Apple ought to give the security for that phone, okay? What I think you ought to do is boycott Apple until such a time as they give that security number. First of all, the phone's not even owned by this young thug. This is all Trump.
Yeah.
First of all, the phone's not even owned by this young thug that killed all these people. The phone's owned by the government.
Okay.
He lashed out at Tim Cook, who is, of course, the CEO in charge, saying he was looking to do a big number, probably to show how liberal he is.
Right.
Oh, and then Trump, he also took his rant onto Twitter, because he said all of this at one of those rallies, and then he also went onto Twitter, and he said, you know, I have an Apple iPhone, and I use a Samsung, and quite frankly, I'm going to stop using my Apple iPhone now and only use the Samsung.
Wow, you show him, big Donald, tough guy.
And then he said, hopefully others will follow suit. Yeah, sure.
So hard to be a millionaire these days.
You know.
You have to choose your phone. Morning. Mike. Hey, Mike. Mike, what's up? Well, there's Mike. That's all he wanted to say.
Well, he was on Apple and Donald tackled him.
Clearly. Hey, listen, there's this preacher called Robert Jeffries in America who said that the Pope should beg Donald Trump for forgiveness.
Of course.
Do you want to hear that? Let's just try Mike again. Let's see if I can get him on here. Mike from Durban, hello.
Hi, Gareth. How are you doing?
Cool. Go ahead, man.
Just on the subject, you guys have got it slightly wrong. Apple, at the moment, as it stands, cannot unlock the devices.
Oh.
The encryption is too great. It's 128, which is almost military grade.
Mm-hmm.
So what the FBI is insisting they do from now on is make a back door only for them. So they can get into the phone. But Apple's whole stance and argument is, well, how do we make sure only you can get in through the back door? As soon as we make a back door, there's a vulnerability. And that's exactly why they're refusing to comply, because complying means risking everyone's privacy from hackers and other people.
What is your position on this, Mike?
I think dead people don't really have any rights, but how would you feel if your phone was hacked through this back door by people that weren't investigating?
Yeah, it would be bad. It would be a very bad thing.
Oh, yeah, imagine it's a business that has private information on the phone or the iPad or whatever. Millions could be lost, and then would Apple be responsible for it, or the FBI? So there's the other side of the coin. Apple's not refusing to unlock the phone. In fact, they've been trying to. But the encryption's so good that you can't unless you have the unlock code. But now the FBI is saying, from now on, then you must make every other iOS unlockable, but by us only. And that's the catch. How do you... You know, hackers are smarter than most of the people that work in government. So how the hell are they going to make sure only the FBI can unlock it?
While you're talking to me, we're actually tracing your number right now, and we're about to send a squad of people around to your house to grab your phone and look at your pictures.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hasn't our privacy already been invaded in some sense? I mean, this is why you get exactly. spammed and all that other stuff is because...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the more we release, especially with regards to all these free apps and things like that, the more information we allow out there, the more people know about us, the less private we become, the more of a hive we become. It's just a horrible, slippery slope, and yeah, I'm for privacy, 100%.
Yeah. You know what, I'm with you. I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. Screw the government. They're not allowed to have this information.
Absolutely. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Mike. There we go. Fuck them, he says. Here's this this priest, the preacher in America, who says that the Pope should beg Donald Trump for forgiveness after the things that he said about him. Do you want to hear?
I think the Pope needs to seek Donald Trump's forgiveness for saying such an outlandish thing. Look, remember, it was just a year ago this week that ISIS chopped off the heads of 21 Coptic Christians on the beach in Libya. Then they looked into the camera and said, "We're coming to Rome next." The Pope, above all people, ought to understand the security threat we all face. And he also ought to also understand the fact that the Bible gives government a different responsibility than the church. Government is supposed to uphold the laws and protect its citizens. I think Trump's response was absolutely perfect. Look, I have to hand it to the Pope. He did perform a miracle today. He did something no other human being has been able to do in history, and that is turn Donald Trump into a martyr. I think people are going to flock to Trump because of this. I think his poll numbers will go through the roof. Because as much as people respect the Pope, and I respect the Pope, nobody wants to see the Pope inserting himself into the American election, and they sure don't want to be taking security advice from the Pope. I think this is a very clear instance in which the Pope took the first swing at Donald Trump. And I think Donald Trump had every right and responsibility to answer. Now, I'm told by people who seem to know what they're talking about that the Vatican will be issuing a clarification of what the Pope meant. I think they're going to backpedal on this as quickly as they possible because, again, the American people, Catholics and Protestants alike, don't like the Pope inserting himself into American politics. I think when you have a non-American who is singling out a political candidate and condemning him, I don't think people think that's fair. I think it would be another thing, even if it were an American pastor like myself, I think people would look at it a little bit differently than they do now. Of course, the Pope is free to do whatever he wants to, but you watch, the Vatican's going to backpedal on this.
So basically, Donald Trump has been made a martyr by this Pope. Huh?
This is a classic example of when human beings choose to only hear certain things and block out the rest that doesn't make sense with how they want to view the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope was on a plane,
right?
And a reporter asked him, "What do you make of the things that Donald Trump has been saying?"
Particularly, he just left Mexico.
Yes.
Let's remember that.
So he was being asked a question. He didn't involve himself in the situation. He was asked by a reporter, to which he said, if he indeed said those things, it's not very Christian-like, but I am not one to tell Americans how they should vote. The Pope said this. He's not involving himself in American politics. He was asked a question.
It's like this story I read over the weekend about Meryl Streep. Did you hear about that? The Twitter's gone crazy about her now, that she's some kind of a racist. Meryl Streep was asked about some movie and about... Oh, God, it's such a long, complicated thing. She was being asked about movies and about cultural identity and all that kind of thing, and how she basically answered, you know, there's so many different cultures, there's so many different backgrounds, there's so many different people in the world, and they all should be represented in film. But she said, basically, when we nail it all down, if we go back far enough, we're all African. Which is true. It's not an offensive statement, is it?
It's history, really.
Yeah. So someone takes that out of context. They take that line. Basically, we're all Africans. out of context, they throw it into this discussion around the Oscars, which are so white this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like Meryl's saying, but we're all Africans, so if it's all white people at the Oscars, that's fine. And a bunch of people get really hot under the collar, and suddenly she's this evil witch who clearly thinks that it's okay that there aren't any black people at the Oscars this year. Isn't that insane? Twitter's run by lunatics. It's suddenly it's been the crazy people have taken over the asylum.
It's as insane as Beyonce being a racist now.
Exactly. But you see, people have just lost their minds. Someone's got to step up and say, no, sit down and shut up. You're not important and you don't have an opinion that counts, because what you're saying is stuff that just doesn't make sense. You're quoting people out of context. You're saying things have happened that have not happened. You're not allowed to make up the facts. I mean, this, there's just so much craziness going on online at the moment. It's hard to know who's got their brains in.
So what we need is better talk shows, right? None of this, like, tell us about your near suicide or your new book, that kind of crap. They should get celebrities, say something, and then open mic towards the crowd and see what they've got to say. And then suddenly these trolls will be forced into the open. And
yeah.
The sunlight. And
the sunlight will burn them.
That's set up straight, and then
yeah.
That'll be funny. And it's like, right, I've said this. Who's got something
well,
to say?
Well, I've told you. Dumi Moraki and I are starting a TV show soon.
Please. This has to happen.
We're going to go to people's houses. They're going to find all these trolls on the internet. And we're going to go to their houses, and we're going to bring them out into the sun. And they'll scream like orcs as we pull them into the sun. And they're forced to account for the things that they've said on social media in person. And we'll see how big their balls are then. We'll actually pull down their pants and see their balls. That's part of the show. How do you like that, Mubs? Expose the balls.
Well, I don't really know if balls is what anybody wants to see. They're so ugly.
Scrotum's not a rating booster.
Yeah, show us your balls.
Did you guys see there's some fish making its way into like the Australian ocean that eats ball testicles?
Yeah, Michael, I was about to bring the story up. I had that story queued up as my next story.
A fish that eats balls.
It's called a paku, okay? We spoke about this last year.
It's from the
Amazon originally. It's a cousin of the piranha.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a human mouth, essentially. So it's
Hang
got
on.
A...
No, hold on a second.
It's got a human mouth and basically it's got human teeth.
No, I don't agree. I do not agree.
Those teeth over there, that's what I'm going to have. My braces come off. So this paku, right, it's got a mouth, and it attacks testicles because testicles sit nicely in its mouth.
Which testicles, though, does this fish
humans.
Go for?
So when
only humans?
When humans, this thing's called the nutcracker. So when humans are basically just bobbing around in the sea, just chilling in the nuts, this thing comes up and just bites your sack. So you could have pukus on the show of yours, Gareth, and they'll just bite the guy's sack at the end. But what is really, really worrying is that these animals were only like in the Amazon. Then some appeared in Florida. Now they're in Europe. You can be in the River Seine in Paris, and one of these will bite your balls. They've been found in Sweden as well. Scandinavian waters now have the paku. And even though they're not seen to be as very violent fish, is that the things that do bite are your nuts.
But do we know what kind of attack tactic they use? Do they nibble on your balls, or is it one giant
Oops.
Grab and then pull?
They have removed balls from human. They bite and they take your sack. They can create a violent enough thrash with a tail. They can just rip your balls straight off.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Isn't that cool?
I don't know how they crossed the Atlantic, but these pakus are going to be biting nuts in Europe now.
That's really funny.
I can imagine you go to the pub and your voice is very different. And what happened?
I must look it up.
A paku.
P-A-C-U.
Oh,
C-U.
So imagine quite a big piranha and then put like a human mouth onto it.
Paku fish.
Yeah.
It actually has teeth like a human.
Yeah.
What a horrible looking thing.
Remember like a while ago when Toyota had that boxer dog in the ads and it had a human mouth to
yes,
talk?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, so put a human mouth on a piranha.
Some of these pakus have better dentition than some of the people I know.
I know, there's one I'm looking at right now I'm very envious of.
Yo, what a horrible thing.
So its mouth is literally made for biting off ball sacks.
Well, you learn something new every day. Anything else we need to cover?
No, that's it.
Anybody? Fish that eat balls, anything? No? All right. Very good. We'll take your calls and we'll take some messages from you. I see there are lots of those on the screen. Roman says, the evangelical pastor is protecting the adulterous atheist against the head of the Catholic Church. You can't make this shit up. And Adriano says, I'm on Team Apple's side. The problem is the FBI want to invade every inch of privacy the American people have. Tim Cook shouldn't give in to their bullying tactics, and Edward Snowden speaking out about it shows how important it is. He has sacrificed his life of normalcy to defend the rights and the privacy of other people. Good point. Gift says, that's it. I'm never swimming in the ocean again. My balls are staying with me.
Yeah, why take the chance?
No. Jermaine says, ever since I started my new job, I think I've been suffering from the Truman Show delusion. I feel like I'm being watched all the time.
You probably are.
Maybe I'm the new guy and that's why. Is that normal? Yonder says, in the US, there's so many cases being framed and so on that if you release your phone and there's somehow incriminating evidence that appears you weren't aware of, you could get into trouble too.
The US sounds like a tough place to live. If you're not getting shot, your privacy's taken, you're being thrown in prison for not murdering someone.
Yeah. It's all very messy.
We're okay here.
Okay, well, there's lots of stuff still to come. We're going to meet two of the stars of South Africa's biggest movie hit. They made 4.7 million rand in box office sales on this movie, which is unbelievable. Close to 90,000 people saw the movie, and it's called Vir Altyd. And very, very successful. So we can speak to Donnelly Roberts and to Ivan Buerta just now about being in this movie, about putting the whole thing together. I mean, people talk about the movie business, but this is what you've got to get into your head, is that certain movies are a vanity project that never make money, and others are huge commercial successes. I mean, that's terrific. If you want to have a successful movie business in this country, we need to do more of this. We'll meet these two in a moment. Find out all about them. Proper movie stars. CliffCentral.com